Thank you for listening to Air Talk. While Larry Mantle is on vacation, I'm Libby Denkman, sitting in his seat today. The Supreme Court has blocked a citizenship question from going on the 2020 census for now. The justices said it is constitutional to ask people if they are American citizens on the census, but the Commerce Department has to come up with a better reason for it. The Wilbur Ross justification that was put forward was to enforce the Voting Rights Act, and the justices in their majority decision this morning simply said they don't buy that. Now it appears to be a race, really, between administrative procedure and printing deadlines, as the Commerce Department will likely come back and come up with a more robust reason to add a citizenship question, that is. And the printing deadline that has been put forward by the agency that distributes the census was July 1st. So assuming that the Commerce Department and the legal system cannot work fast enough, we are thinking right now that it might mean that there is not a citizenship question on the 2020 census. But again, this is a very fluid situation. We've been following it all morning since the justices came out with their decision. And we want to talk about what it means for Southern California. On the line with me now is Anne Le, 2020 Census Statewide Network Manager for Asian Americans Advancing Justice in Los Angeles. And it is a confusing maze to walk through this ruling from the Supreme Court today. But can you give me your reaction and the Los Angeles community's reaction to hearing that, at least for now, the question will not be on the census?
Yes, thank you for having me on the program. So obviously, we are relieved that this decision came out. We actually were feeling a lot of the pressures of the possibility that the question would be on the form, because we did know that that was going to deter participation from a lot of our immigrant communities in Los Angeles and in all of California. We do make up a significant part of the Asian American populations across the country. So California has the largest Asian American concentration of in the country, as well as Pacific Islander communities as well. So we were hearing from our communities that this was going to be a deterrent, and so now that the question is off, it looks like the question will be excluded from the form. We do feel like it puts us in a better position to encourage folks to participate in the census.
Has damage already been done, however, in terms of trust with the census, because of the conversations and the high-profile battle that's been waged between the Trump administration and advocates who were saying this would suppress turnout? Is there already a trust issue that it will be difficult to bridge?
Yes, absolutely. That is something that we already feared would happen, just by even suggesting the question, that the damage has already been done. We did see that there was a study conducted by PIC that indicated that 59% of Asian Americans in California were suspicious about the administration maintaining confidentiality of their responses, and so that's going to be a big hurdle for us to overcome.
Yeah. Also on the line with us is Diana Collin, Director of Civic Engagement for Coalition at the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights. That's CHURLA. And Diana Collin is on the line with me. What is your reaction, Diana, as we see the rather confusing ruling from the court this morning, but again, a feeling of this is a reprieve for now from having the citizenship question on the census?
Yeah. Hi, everybody, and thank you for having me as well. I think two things. The first one is this administration has done different things to weaponize the census, different things to harm our community and make sure our community is not counted. The citizenship question is one of them. Cutting the resources that the Census Bureau has to do the field work and the field outreach is the second part. And then the third thing is making the census form online, which we know a lot of a community either doesn't have a computer, doesn't have access to broadband, or just doesn't understand or wouldn't understand how to complete the form. And so it's one thing after another that's been happening. And so you know, with today's decision, I think it reemphasizes what we as an immigrant rights organization have been saying, that with or without a citizenship question, we are making ourselves counted because we can't afford not to. And so we have a campaign, it's called Contamos Contigo, We Count on You. And when we're asking immigrants and refugees and Latinos to commit themselves that no matter what, at the end of the day, when they get the form in the mail, they have to count every single person in their household.
What are the consequences? Lay them out for us if there's an undercount in California, Deanna.
Yeah. In California, 49% of the people in California are either immigrants or children of immigrants. So this is huge. We're talking about mixed status families. We're not just talking about the undocumented immigrant population, but people with a residency status or a TPS or a DACA status. That's what it means to not be a U.S. citizen, right? There's a whole lot of other statuses that you can have in regards to immigration. And so for us to be targeted at 49% of the people in California, aside from the resources that the state is going to get, it's about $7,000 to $8,000 per person that we get that's counted in the census. Besides that, it's the political power that we've been building, right? And as an immigrant rights organization, I'll give you the perfect example. We had a historic vote a couple weeks ago for H.R. 6, a DREAM Act vote in the House. We were able to get just about every single Democrat in the state to vote in favor of this DREAM Act legislation that will give DACA recipients and beyond and TPS holders a pathway to citizenship. And so losing these seats in the House as a blue state, as California, can definitely hurt us politically.
Ann Lett is also on the line, 2020 Census Statewide Network Manager for Asian Americans Advancing Justice in Los Angeles. A question about your method for doing outreach with the Asian American community, Ann Lett, when we talk about how diverse that is in Southern California, so many languages spoken. What are your strategies for reaching so many different communities?
Yeah, so we received a contract with the state to conduct outreach to Asian American and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander communities across the state. And, you know, the Census Bureau's in-language program is going to be limited to only 5 Asian languages. And there will be additional languages, but among the Asian languages, there will only be 5. And so our concern is that the other communities that have much higher limited English proficiency rates and are considered significant part of the hard-to-count populations will be ignored. And so our part of our program will be producing in-language materials that are culturally and linguistically sensitive that will, you know, be used to motivate these harder-to-count populations that, you know, tend to be ignored by programs that will focus on larger communities. So that's going to be one major component of our work. Another is training our community partners or the organizations that work directly with these hard-to-count communities to be equipped with the resources and the information that they need to use, you know, appropriate messaging that will motivate community members to participate. And, you know, continuing to emphasize the need for participation to ensure that we will get our fair share of the resources and political representation for our communities. And then the third component of our work will be really engaging with ethnic media outlets that are trusted messengers within our communities so that, you know, they work with us to make sure that there's no misinformation that's being spread and that there's that people have all of the truthful information on why to participate and you know, what it will mean for our communities. And you know, a lot of this is going to rely on working with trusted messengers, and that so that can mean it can mean people who are you know, religious figures, or you know, the people that run the local store that you know our community members go to for all sorts of social services and information about what's important for their communities.
Deanna Colleen, who's here from CHRLA, I want to know more about the way candidates for office will be communicating about this. Have you had conversations with potential 2020 candidates about the way that as they're campaigning in these communities, there's already micro-targeting going on for communities to support individual candidates. Will they also be messaging about the importance of the census?
Yes, and with our sister organization, Trilla Action Fund, which is the one that actually engages the most with candidates, in every briefing, in every roundtable, that's one of the key and priority messagings, right? What are you going to do in your role right now to make sure our people are counted? And what are you doing? What are you doing in the local, state, national level, whatever it is your role is, to assure that people are getting the right information? And so a lot of the candidates that are now running currently have elected official positions, right? And so they do have some power of, like, in regards to resources, in regards to the media spotlight and the followers to be able to amplify that message.
Do we know what happens, Deanna, if somebody just decides, I'm going to answer the rest of the questions on this census form, but not the citizenship question? That's a question that we got over Facebook from a listener, John. If somebody answering the census just skips something?
Yeah. As of now, it's a lot of unknowns. We know that since you will be able to or have to fill out the form online, it will allow you to move forward as long as you put in your name and your address. Like, those are the two requirements that we know for now. So the latest we heard from the Census Bureau is that it will allow you to move on to the next question.
Is that something that you're going to be messaging on? Is that something that will be brought up and explained that you can skip one?
Yeah, so right now, and again, we launched our campaign in April of this year, and it's all education. It's telling people the importance about filling out the census form, the resources that come into your community if you fill it out, and why it's important for us to be counted. The form doesn't get to people's mailboxes till next March, and by then we will have the exact wording and the exact language and the exact questions that will be part of it, and also the exact process, right? We will know if it is finalized that it will let you move on. But right now it's a lot of speculation. You're just not comfortable giving people that information. So again, it's just focusing on the importance of the census and making yourself count.
Sure. That's Deanna Colleen with the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights. Also with me is Anne Le, 2020 Census Statewide Network Manager for Asian Americans Advancing Justice. We're discussing this major set of Supreme Court rulings that came out today, specifically the choice by the justices to say we're not going to block a citizenship question on the 2020 census right now. We are going to say that the Commerce Department needs to find a better justification than what they came up with, which was enforcement of the Voting Rights Act. The justices simply didn't seem to buy that. In the meantime, printing deadlines are approaching. July 1st was the initial printing deadline for forms for the census. And so right now, we believe that there will not be a citizenship question on that 2020 census because there's simply not enough time for the Commerce Department to go back, find a new justification, and then work its way through the courts in order to approve it. That is not final, that we still have a lot of questions about the mechanics of the way the census will roll out, about whether that printing deadline is official. So that's why we're saying for now, it appears that the courts have blocked the citizenship question. More to come on this story, certainly. In the meantime, Anne Le, when you message to your communities in Southern California, Asian Americans, there has to be a historical context weighing heavy on your mind. And that is the revelations that came out many years later about information that was used during World War II to intern Japanese Americans, right?
Yes. There are many hurdles that we're facing with every census. And a big part of that is because of the history of the Census Bureau using that information against Japanese Americans during World War II. I think one of the things that we really do need to emphasize with our communities is that after that happened, Title 13 was passed, which strengthened confidentiality provisions that it put in place very stiff penalties for the sharing of information and responses from to the Bureau.
And does that mean that when you message, do you acknowledge that and say that there are simply way more penalties now? It doesn't happen anymore. It is just such a delicate thing to talk about because of the painful history there.
Right. Yeah. So, a significant percentage of the new immigrants that have come over since the last census are from Asian countries. And so I think that, if we were to share information just
off the, you know, out the gate about the pernicious uses of the citizenship data with folks that, you know, didn't have that context, then it would definitely, you know, promote more fear. And so obviously we would need to fine tune our messages based off of who the audience is, because each of our ethnicities are very distinct and diverse. And so I think for some communities like the Japanese American community, or, you know, even some communities that bore witness to what happened, we would definitely bring that up or offer that information if the questions are asked of us. But I think for some of the communities with a lot more newer immigrant populations, we would focus more on confidentiality provisions and emphasize the importance of the census on our communities and our future.
That's Anne Le, 2020 Census statewide manager for the Asian Americans Advancing Justice Los Angeles chapter. Deanna Colleen, also with us from CHRLA. Just really quickly, Deanna, how closely will you be following as this whole situation unfolds, whether or not the Commerce Department will attempt to challenge and get a question snuck in here, you know, under the wire as the printing goes forward on these census forms? Looks like we lost Deanna. Anne Le, do you want to react to that? How closely are you watching it, you know, whether or not the Commerce Department will challenge?
Oh yeah, no, we're vigilantly watching over this. I mean, with this administration, everything is anything is possible, right? And so, if anything were to happen with the census at all, we have civil rights attorneys that will continue to fight the question in the courts and fight any other obstacles that they try to put our way.
Thanks so much to my guests. Coming up, we're going to talk about a potential grocery strike at supermarkets around Southern California. I'm Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today on Air Talk. Back after this short break.